chapter 6 this morning. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. You'll see some pages turning, so I'll give you a moment to make sure you all are there. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Paul, in his last chapter to the Ephesians, not really his last letter to the Ephesians, he's going to write another letter to the people of Ephesians, but he'll go to their pastor. I have a piece of candy. Can anyone guess what the name of the pastor is to the church at Ephesus? I saw your hand first. No. It's not Artemis. He's going to write another letter. So it's a letter written by Paul to someone. His name is the pastor. Yes, Pastor Scott.
Timothy.
Yeah. Pastor Scott getting on the game. All right, so when you read the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, Timothy's the pastor at Ephesus. He's the pastor of the Ephesians. So Paul will write to them again, but in a different book. More so to the pastor to encourage him. So, verse 1, chapter 6, you're all there by now. Let's read together. Children, that's you, that's everyone who's ever been born, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. I ask you to bless the reading and the teaching of your word. Help these young students to be attentive, that they would learn something from it as well. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. As we jump into chapter 6, verse 1, that very first word that you see on the screen in verse 1, it's in your Bible. What is that very first word? Y'all can say it with me.
Children.
Children. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a student and I was your age, sometimes people would come and talk to us about things like, oh, children are supposed to obey your parents. What usually comes to your mind, like, let's be honest, like, when people start telling you you have to obey, what's the initial kind of response we might usually have? Yes, sir. No? Absolutely. No, I don't want to do that. That's an honest answer. What's another response we usually have?
Oh, you get mad.
Yeah, you get mad. You know what my children sometimes do? If I tell one of my children they have to do something, you know what they want to know?
Why?
Not always why. Sometimes they do. We said why. Why is it great? We said why. Yeah, they want to know why. But then you know what else they want to know?
If the other person has to do.
Well, what about him? Does he have to do anything? We're jumping into chapter 6, verse 1. Because let's be honest. Not only are all of us the child of somebody, but most of the people in this room are still categorized as children in our culture and in our society. But I want to point something out to you. We skipped a pretty good-sized section of Ephesians chapter 5. And one of the reasons why we skipped it is because Paul says this. He speaks to husbands and wives. Moms and dads, the man, the woman, in a marriage, the parents of children. He talks to them first. We read up until about 21, 22 last night in Ephesians chapter 5. Then Paul, good news, boys and girls, he
talks to mom and dad first. Isn't that nice to know that you're not the first person Paul's telling to do something to? He's been saying to everyone we're supposed to be acting a particular way. He told us how we're supposed to think based upon what has happened, how the blood of Christ has brought us near. We used to be afar off, and now he's starting to tell people, this is what you need to do. Last night we looked at walking worthy, or doing the job that we're supposed to do. And now he starts talking about different groups of people. And in the part of Ephesians that we're not covering, he talks to the moms and the dads. He talks to the husbands and wives about how their relationship is supposed to be. Because here's what you need to know, boys and girls. You can store this away in the back of your brain for 15 years, 20 years, however long it is, until you get married. It's how mom and dad start things is what the children are going to learn. Some of you learn things from your parents. Did you know that? Most of us learn things from our parents. A lot of us learn a lot of good things from our parents. How to tie our shoes. How to comb our hair. How to brush our teeth. Those are all great things. But sometimes we also learn bad things from our parents. Maybe it's being short-tempered. Maybe it's not responding the right way. We can learn bad things too. And Paul starts with the mom and the dad, and he says, here's how you two are supposed to act. Then he turns to the children, and you know what he says to them? He says, children, obey your parents. But he doesn't just stop there. He adds three little words to children, obey your parents. And then what are the next three words? Yes, sir. In the Lord. So boys and girls are supposed to obey mom and dad. And we're supposed to be thinking about how do we obey mom and dad in the Lord? Well, here's how we do this. Remember last night we talked about, we use this big word called circumspectly. You guys remember reading that word? Someone raise your hand and remind us, what does that word circumspectly mean? Yes, sir. Very good. It means you're walking and you're looking around as you go. Well, how do we do that? Here's an example. When we obey, we look around thinking, now, can I go clean up my room in a way that would please God? Or can I go and just clean up my room to just obey my parents? Both of them may result in a clean room. Your room might be clean, but we can do things without pleasing God, can't we? You guys, just a few short minutes ago, you were cleaning up your cabins. And Justin was struggling because his cabin wasn't really feeling it today on cleaning. Justin's cabin, what's up with that? Did you know when you clean your cabin, students? You can clean your cabin because your counselor said so, or you can clean your cabin because it's something you're doing for the Lord. Paul wants you to understand you're obeying mom and dad for the Lord or in the Lord. Now, why do we do that, Paul? Because it's the right thing to do. And then, when we're done with talking to the children, if you want to look down a couple verses, I'll slide there for you. Down in verse 5, Paul says, servants, be obedient. He talks to people that work for others. So this is something I want to encourage you with, boys and girls. You guys have listened to me read through and talk through and preach the book of Ephesians all week. And here's what I need you to know. God does not say only you have to obey Him. God tells everyone they have to obey Him. This is just the passage we're looking at for you guys. You got it? So don't think, well, no one else has to obey. No, 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 no. He started with the moms and dads, and then he's going to go to the employees, the people that work for others, the people that serve others, and he says, you've got to do this too. So then he says, after obey, now he gives a different word. What's the very first word of verse 2? Look up there. Tell me, what does that word say? Yes, ma'am. Honor. What does the word honor mean? When we say we're going to honor someone, to what?
praise someone? Okay. I'll take that.
What else does it mean? If we say we're going to honor someone, what does it mean to honor them?
To respect? Okay.
What else? Let's get one more synonym, word that means the same thing but is different, of what does it mean to honor?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, what does it mean to honor?
We already got respect. Well, listen kind of falls under obey. So can you give me another one? The idea of we're honoring someone. That you care what they say? Okay,
I like it. I'll take it. Can I give you another definition, boys and girls?
It's the idea of this. To add weight to. To make something heavy. Is that okay? What do you mean make something heavy? I've got a plate, much like many of you just used to consume French toast and sausage. How many of you enjoyed breakfast this morning? Raise your hand. How many of you enjoyed dinner last night? Raise your hand. How many of you have enjoyed food all this week? Raise your hand. All right, you put your hands down. You do me a favor, Carter. Do you know what this plate's made out of? You know what that's called? This isn't plastic. It's styrofoam. This plate does not get much honor. You know why? It doesn't have much weight. In fact, I can let the plate go, and it just kind of floats nicely down, doesn't it? I have a cup, much like many of us use to drink water with while we're here at camp. This cup doesn't have much honor to it. There's no weight. You know why? If I let it go, you know what happens? It falls. Huh. It didn't break. I can fill it up and use it again. I didn't hurt my plate when I dropped it. I want you to think about this for just a moment, boys and girls. The plates and the cup of styrofoam and plastic, they have very little weight to us. We don't care about them that much. No weight. It's just styrofoam. You want to drop it? Okay. Not going to hurt anything. Sure, you might spill your lunch. But the plate's not ruined, is it? And when you're done with it, we're going to throw it away, Peter. Stack them up, throw them away, they go into the dumpster, we'll never see them again.
There's no honor in these. But these, on the other hand, this is a
hold that carefully. I mean, that's got some weight to it, doesn't it? You know what that's made out of? It's glass. And if I drop this cup from right here, what's going to happen to it? It's going to break. Exactly.
Small feet are going to be hurt by it. Then I got this plate. Will you hold that for me? Now I also have this plate. Will you hold that one for me?
Now, if you were going to pick which one you would like to be smacked in the head with, which plate would you choose? Why do you want the foam plate?
Because it's lighter and I don't get hurt.
That's right. Because the foam plate, if it hits you, it's not going to hurt. This glass plate, on the other hand, you might need a new head after it comes at you. How many of you would prefer to be hit by the glass plate? I think some of you boys have already been hit in the head by a glass plate. You're raising your hand. No, you don't want to be hit by this. You know why? Because it has a lot of weight to it. There's another concept that comes with this, boys and girls, and it's this. For telling me that it's a glass cup? That's not a hard question. Don't worry, we'll get another chance. This is the idea of honor. I do not honor this plate. It has no weight. There's no consequence if I break it. It's not a big deal. No honor whatsoever. This plate, however, this plate gets honor. It's heavier. It's going to cost more to replace. If it gets broken, it causes more damage. If it hits something, it hurts more. Doesn't it? We honor this plate a whole lot more than we do this one. Now, we don't use that word in the same way when we talk about honor. But Paul tells us we're supposed to honor our parents. Honor your father and your mother. Now he tells us a little bit more about this honoring thing. What does Paul tell us we should do with this idea of honor? What happens when we do it? Yes, ma'am.
Honor father and mother.
Good. And what's the rest of the verse? Keep going. It's the first commandment
with promise.
Now, what does that mean? Someone raise your hand and just tell me what that means. It's the first commandment with promise. What does it mean? It's the first commandment with promise. Yes, ma'am.
That it's true.
Okay, it's a command. It's true. But what does that mean that it's the first commandment that has promise? Yes, ma'am.
It's going to have to be a little louder.
Okay, makes sense that we might think it's the first of the Ten Commandments, but that's not what he says. It's the first commandment with promise. What does that mean? He promises you something based upon what?
Like,
not based upon how we're made, how we obey. You can put your hands down. Now, we had someone tell us this is the first of the Ten Commandments. What are the Ten Commandments? Can anyone give me all 10 of them? Wait, this has got to be all or nothing. You've got to give me all 10 or I'm not giving them any candy. All 10 commandments. That's a questionable hand. Do you know them? All right, nice enough. Give me all 10. Number one. Okay, two. All right. Give it a shot. Number one.
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie.
All right, well, you're already out of order. Those are commandments. In order. Oh, that's hard. You got it, Leland?
Let's go.
All right, let's go. Not a promise that you have to make. comes with a promise, where's the promise come from? Yes, sir. Very good. And who made that promise? God did it. God said, if you honor them, your days will be long. When he first made that promise to the Israelites, it was to them going into the land of Canaan. He said, your days will be long in the land. And now Paul is telling us again that your days will be long. Boys and girls, how many of you would like to live a long time? Paul says, you want a chance of that? You need to obey your mom and dad, because God said, if you do, I will extend your life. Now, what he did not say is that you will get to live the longest life anyone has ever lived. He says he will extend or make your days longer. And you don't know how many days God has for you, but by obeying mom and dad, it extends our days. Why does he say this? That it may be well with you, verse 3, and you may live long on the earth. And then he turns back to the fathers, and he says, fathers, dads, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. All right, now that word provoke, we don't really use that a whole lot. You know what it means? All right, what's provoke mean? Okay, good. To try to get people to sin. What else? What's another good synonym for it? Yes, sir.
Like, to take away.
Provoke doesn't mean to take away. What's it mean? Provoke mean? That's not the best definition for provoke. What does it mean to provoke someone? Yes, ma'am. Ooh, to tempt, okay. Yeah, it's the idea, it's this idea, boys and girls. It's the idea of to push. To prod. If I were to sit and I were to start poking you, hey, you should go do that. Hey, you should. And I start poking and prodding and pushing. That's the idea of provoking. I'm trying to encourage or get you to do something wrong. And he says this to fathers. Remember, I told you, you're not the only ones who are told to do something. Paul tells the children to obey and to honor. And then he tells the dads, you're not supposed to push your children to be upset or to wreck. Now listen, boys and girls. That does not mean that if your dad or mom says something and you get upset that they are wrong. The idea is this, that your parents are supposed to be helping you to grow up in the, what does he say? The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture, you can think of that as the idea of to feed, to take care of. If it were a plant, it'd be the idea of giving it water and sunshine. If it were a fish, it would be the idea of keeping the tank clean and giving it food. If it were a child, sometimes it means it needs discipline. Sometimes it means it needs food. Sometimes it means it needs to be corrected. That's what parents are supposed to do. And then he goes to the servants and he says, servants, you need to obey too. Obey your masters that are according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of heart. That means you have one purpose. And then he tells them this, and I think this is a great verse that helps all of us. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers. What does that mean? That means that I'm not looking around seeing, oh, does Michael see what I'm doing, and is Michael going to be happy with what I did? Then I'm going to do this because I want Michael to tell me good job. Or maybe it looks like this, students. I'm going to answer questions because I know I'll get candy. I'm going to be helpful because I know I'll get extra playtime. I'm going to be helpful because I know I'm going to get X, Y, or Z, whatever it is that you do That's why you do those things. Don't we? He says we're not doing things so that the people around us say, hey, great job! You did it! That's not why we're doing things. He says that we're doing it the will of God from our hearts because we want God to be pleased with us. So let's close with this idea. Paul says we're doing goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing this, that whatever, he says, verse 8, he says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man or woman, any person does, he says, that same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Paul reminds the servants, he says this, you do things knowing that God is going to pay you for what you've done. I'm not looking to be paid by Pastor Brian with candy. I'm not looking to be paid by my counselor with extra swim time. I'm not looking to be paid by any person. I want to be paid by God for what I do. So I do the things that I'm supposed to do because I want God to be pleased with me. So ask yourself that question, boys and girls. You've not had to obey mom and dad for 5 days. You've had to obey other authorities, counselors, sponsors, camp staff. But as we go home and you're back with mom or dad, you need to ask yourself this question. Do I obey mom and dad just because I don't want to be in trouble? Do I obey because I like them to tell me that they're proud of me? Or do I obey mom and dad because I know that's what makes God happy and I want to please God and glorify Him with the things that I do? Father, we thank you for the time together. I ask you to be with these young people that as they go home tomorrow, that they would be able to walk around as people looking to avoid the things that they're supposed to avoid and to do the things they're supposed to do, not because they want the people around them to say good job, but because they want you to tell them good job. Thank you for the ability to discern and choose between what's right and what's wrong, and thank you for providing a perfect example to us. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.